Welcome to the 122nd episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. It's hot here in Florida. I think it's warm most of the places in the United States these days, but we are having very hot and humid weather. Makes training interesting. And only event on schedule is the Chattanooga Ironman race in September. So I'm cranking up the bike and the swim and trying to maintain the run, doing a little weight training. I have the great fortune to have a strength and conditioning coach in the family who's given me workouts. So hopefully I'll keep on his good side so he doesn't try to kill me in the process, but so far so good. Did a long bike ride today. And went well, 63 miles, still maintaining my little goal to get off and run at least a mile after biking. So, and that felt better this week than it did last week. I, again, felt really good today. Yesterday, I ran 12 miles and then did a lot of gardening out back. I actually dug 5 holes, planted 4 trees and 1 bush, and did some pepper and tomato plant relocation. So I was out in the Florida sun all afternoon, so I was pretty well beat. And I wasn't sure how the ride was going to go today. And somebody asked me on email, sent an email question as far as what to do after long training rides or what I do. And the first thing I do when I come in from one of these long events is I actually go straight to the blender. This time of year, watermelon's in season, and I love watermelon in the blender. So if it's after a, you know, usually I do a smoothie every day and I have some kale in it, but if it's after a ride, I go straight for cold and hydration. So I do watermelon, cherries, papaya, pineapple, banana, a lot of ice and water. And I drink about a blender of that first, and that is kind of what brings me back to life, so to speak. And then after that, I just eat what I find that I'm hungry for. And typically, it's leftovers because that's easy. When I come back in from a ride, yesterday, actually, I came right in from a ride and kind of got hydrated and went out and started working. And then I came back in and showered and had leftovers, and I made a new taco filling on Friday where I sautéed in water peppers and onions and cauliflower, and then added black bean and my cumin and chili powder and a little cayenne powder. So I had that left over, and so I ate that with some tomatoes on it. So that was my kind of second lunch after my my smoothie. And then I just had, you know, probably some more fruit before I we actually went out to dinner last night. And I'll talk about dinner a little bit later. But then before I went to bed, I discovered I ate a new fruit for the first time. I tasted it last year, but this is the first one that I ever purchased. It's called a mamey sapote. And it's M-A-M-E-Y. It's a tropical fruit. It doesn't look like much. It looks brown and kind of ugly on the outside, but the inside is a vibrant orange. And it's very, very sweet. And it was very ripe, so I ate most of it. I gave a little taste to my mother, who lives next door. But for the most part, I ate the whole thing. And I really didn't look up too much of the nutritional value of it. And I'm not sure how much I ate. It was a medium-sized one. But when I looked it up, if it's 1.2 pounds of it, and I don't think I ate that much, but it would have up to 694 calories and a whole lot of potassium at 2,533 milligrams. Now, that's 1.2 pounds. I don't think I ate 1.2 pounds. I ate a nice bowl full. But it's very rich in vitamin A, B vitamins, magnesium and manganese at 213% of your vitamin C. And that big, you know, they refer to the big one as having 30 grams of fiber. Well, I got to tell you, I felt great on my bike ride this morning. And, you know, like I said, I had every reason to have to be kind of sluggish from my run and all the gardening I did, but I felt really good. So I'm going to try to get more of these Mamay Sapotes and give it another try. But and I actually got them at Publix today. It's our local supermarket had them, and I was really surprised. But you know, I can't say enough about fruit for hydration and their phytonutrients and antioxidants that you can get from the fruit. So, you know, I'm big for chasing every meal with fruit. I only saw one. I saw a total of three cyclists on my 63-mile ride today, which is just kind of sad because I ride out into an area that's pretty traffic, low in traffic, and so it's a great place to ride. And along the canal where I ride, we see deer out there, and also see a fair amount of gators. And today, when I actually saw about a 12-footer, and I stopped to try to get a picture. And he went underwater. But while I was stopped, a guy came upon me that was cycling, and he does the route every day. He does a 30-mile loop, and he's an older gentleman. So we rode a while together and talked about the things that we saw out there. But it's unfortunate that there's not more people cycling out in the area. It kind of tells you something about, I guess, the unhealthfulness of our society. It's always interesting, you know, when I go visit my daughter in Atlanta, we go to some of the parks and there's so many people running and cycling. And they come back in a place like Florida, which is perfect, you know, to be out, that there's no one there. And, you know, people are afraid of, I don't know, it's too hot, too cold. I've heard every excuse. Sometimes it's too windy, too hot. You know, it's everything. But, you know, once you get riding, it actually is cooling, and you carry water and you get used to it after a while. And, you know, got my dose of vitamin D. I do wear some sunscreen on my arms when I'm cycling for 3-4 hours or more, just not to get sunburned, because in Florida it is pretty easy to get sunburned. But if I'm out less than that, especially in the morning, I don't usually wear sunscreen. I don't burn very easy. And, I'm all about the vitamin D, and I'll transition into that because I posted I shared a post on Facebook about vitamin D, and you know the controversy. You know, everybody talks about you know, certainly there's an increased incident, or there is association between low vitamin D levels and ill health, more diabetes, more cancer, more heart disease, but. You know, those are also the people that aren't getting out in the sun. Those are also people that are unhealthy in general. And there was a study that looked at people in the emergency room, and if they had a high blood sugar and you gave them and you corrected their blood sugar, their vitamin D levels, you know, spontaneously went up. So there's, you know, somewhat of acute phase reactant there that'll decrease your vitamin D levels in times of ill health. Doesn't necessarily mean that taking a supplement is going to fix what, you know, it's not. Certainly taking a vitamin D has never been shown to cure heart disease or cure cancer or cure diabetes. So if it doesn't fix that, then, you know, what are we looking at? But this study from Harvard Health, there was a review, and the reality of it is in 2010, the normal vitamin D level on a blood test was 20 nanograms per milliliter. And then 2011, there was an endocrinologist that kind of recommended 30 nanograms per millimeter because it they started seeing an association with ill health. And then, of course, you know, if 30 is good, just like everything else we do in medicine, then 40 to 60 became more of the norm. And of course, then the rows at the drugstores and the grocery markets started lining up with, you know, vitamin D supplements. But if we look back all the way down to some of the original articles, really a vitamin D level of 12.5 is probably more in the range of normal, and 20 would be somewhat of a high level, you know, to check for. Certainly not a worry. So if we looked at 12.5 to 20, then virtually no one is vitamin D deficient. So, you know, this certainly, you know, get some sun, you know, try to every day, but 15 minutes of afternoon sun a couple times a week is usually adequate, but get out and get some sunshine. And, you know, I've said it before on the podcast, there's nothing like airing yourself out. So it's much better if you can walk outside or run outside or cycle outside than to be inside. We're meant to be outside and to get sunlight. The sunlight also and vitamin D help to convert to coenzyme Q10 to its active level, and actually works by the light shining on your capillaries through your skin. So there's lots of good reasons to get outside and do your exercise and do some gardening. It's good for just about everything. Dr. John McDougall is a big proponent of not checking vitamin D and not taking vitamin D supplements. And he's also wrote a great book called The Starch Solution that, you know, really encourages people to eat starchy vegetables on a plant-based diet because they're very, very healthy. Tonight we had cauliflower corn chowder or cauliflower soup with corn, however you want to say it, something I kind of made up. I did cauliflower in my Instapot with a little bit of miso and some corn, a little bit of curry powder, a little bit of red pepper, a little bit of paprika, turned it on, and voila. I also put a few cashews in there to make it a little bit creamy. After it was cooked for 30 minutes, I did the immersion blender and blended that all up. Then I added some more corn and some jalapeno peppers, and it was very good. So I got to thinking, you know, corn is great. You know, when I was growing up, my grandmother's garden, corn and beans were one of the big staples. And so just about every day, actually for lunch and dinner, we would have corn on the cob and green beans some way. Oftentimes we did green beans over homemade bread and green beans and broth. It was actually very, very good. Of course, there were beets always from the garden, lettuce from the garden, but the corn, and corn was a big staple. And if you look at corn, it actually is very, very nutritious. 12 grams of fiber. People talk about, isn't corn full of sugar? Because we say, think high fructose corn syrup. Well, there's actually only 1.1 gram of sugar in a whole cup of corn. And there's actually a little bit of fat, and in a whole cup of corn, there's 15 grams of protein. It's very high in B vitamins, magnesium, and manganese. There's a fair amount of potassium in corn, a little bit of sodium, and there's 37% of the RDA for selenium. So, you know, it's a very well-balanced vegetable to have along, you know, with other foods. If you add to that a medium potato, you'll get some more potassium, 4.7 grams of fiber, 4.3 more grams of protein, and 70% of your vitamin C. So, you know, corn, potatoes, and beans is a great meal, which takes me, you know, again, to hit on the why this is so expensive to eat plant-based. Well, certainly corn is very cheap. Most of the time around here this time of year, you can get 4 or 5 ears for a dollar. You can cook it very simply too. My mom showed me, you know, if you just take a skillet and put a 1/4 inch of water in the skillet, let that come to a boil and stick your corn ears in there and just roll it around, 3 minutes, your corn's cooked. And that's a great way to do your corn without sticking it in a big pot to boil it, all this kind of stuff. I mean, you can put it on the grill or whatever if you want, but that's certainly a really good way to cook your corn. And then, you know, if you cook 4 or 5 ears, you can use it in salads for the rest of the week. Do corn and, you know, make a salad with black beans and peppers and corn and onions, some lime juice, some tomatoes. That makes a really good salad. So, you know, try to incorporate the vegetables that are in season into your diet. This was graduation week in nutrition class. There's 6 sessions, and on the graduation night, we do dessert, and I did Ann Esselstyn's kale cake. Instead of her frosting, I actually just did fresh blueberries and cooked them down and thickened them up, and we had that on our kale cake, and then black bean brownie bites from the Minimalist Baker. She uses some oil, so instead of the oil, I just added another tablespoon of flaxseed. and that worked out really good. It was a quite successful class, a little smaller this time than summertime, but everybody lost weight, got people off of some medications, blood pressure better, energy better, very positive. There was one gentleman that had really been a junk food guy, loved the carrot ginger soup. He loved finding out about Dr. Furman's banana oat cookies, but tried a bunch of different vegetables. He loved the kale salad, loved quinoa. So he's very much, you know, on board as far as being plant-based. You know, everyone else continues to transition. So it was a successful class. We're going to take a little bit of a break because we're going to introduce some new things, but then we'll start back up in mid-August. So I'll look forward to that. You know, there are a tremendous amount of plant-based cookbooks, vegan cookbooks, of course, all kinds of cookbooks, and you see the cooking shows, and everybody tries to make something complicated or something with a crazy sauce on it. But remember that, you know, eating plant-based can be very, very simple. You know, fruits just chopped up, oatmeal with some fruits, some walnuts just chopped up, a big salad with cucumber, peppers, tomatoes, a little bit of avocado, beans on the salad, you know, beans, greens, and sweet potato. There's nothing that has to be complicated when it comes to this. And I think if you think about that, then you're less likely to get overwhelmed. I saw an ad, or actually heard somebody talking about a food service that sends, you know, the ingredients with everything packaged, and all you have to do is cook it to the doorstep, even breakfast. And I thought, like, breakfast? Really? We can't find our own breakfast these days. You know, what has this world come to? You know, you can make oatmeal in the refrigerator and put fruit on it the next morning. You can just have fruit. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, if this morning before I went for my ride, I had an Ezekiel English muffin with a little bit of nutso, which is a nut spread with flaxseed and some fruit spread on top of that, and a mango with some walnuts. You know, it was great. It does not have to be complicated, but do try to, you know, incorporate fruit in your morning breakfast. Toast is such a lame breakfast food. You know, for people, they'll say they'll have toast and peanut butter, and that would be it, or a piece of toast and with butter and coffee. I mean, there's just not much in the way of nutrients there. So, you know, try to get that whole grain cereal in there, the oatmeal or teff, and or just the fruit, because you're looking to get as many antioxidants in as you can. I was going into Walmart to get a few things, and when I was coming out, I passed a young couple, and they actually had two carts of groceries and two small children. And 90% of what they had was processed box foods. And I thought to myself, my God, what, you know, how much did all that cost? And I heard the man say something, well, this is not even going to last us, you know, I don't know how long. And it's like, well, certainly it won't last. You know, it's things that don't keep you full, that are empty calories, that are junk food. You know, and then they probably on top of that just, you know, would go get fast food for their regular food. And it really bothered me. I didn't say anything, but it, you know, really, really bothered me to watch that, you know, young people raising children could be that far off the mark that they're just, you know, collecting these boxed items to eat as food. You know, there was a study done that looked at, you know, most people get very few vegetables. Most of it's processed foods and a little in you know, and meat. And, you know, vegetables maybe as a potato, or luckily maybe French fries and ketchup. So it's a sad state of affairs when we can't find food. And, you know, in our grocery stores, it's the produce aisle is never the packed aisle. It's the other aisles that people are hanging on. And people, you know, they'll say, well, it's so hard to read labels and it takes me so long. Well, if you're in the produce aisle, you don't have to read the labels. So pick up the vegetables and eat them like they are. I couldn't hold myself. I made a comment on another thing that I saw on pizza or on Facebook, which was a mac and cheese pizza, and it shows this young girl eating this pizza that has macaroni and cheese and ravioli on this, you know, this just cheese-filled nightmare. And you can see the grease. It's dough with butter on it, and these people are advertising these things, and it's just awful. You know, and I actually made a comment. It's like, is it diabetes you want? You know, how about coronary artery disease? You know, this particular cousin's overweight, her whole family's overweight. You know, and it just blew my mind. And then she made a comment back that, I'm going to die anyway. And that was even worse than seeing the food, because if that's all you're thinking of at 20 something, it's pretty sad. But, you know, I think it can be, you know, that's a pretty harsh example, but I think that a lot of people think about or don't think about nutrition and they're living in the present, so that eating, you know, somebody else made a comment like that one piece of pizza is going to kill you and give you cancer and all that kind of stuff. But the reality of it's damaging your DNA and it's causing vascular problems and inflammation. And, you know, when you eat something like that and you're living so-called in the present, and you think that one thing just won't hurt you, you're not looking at the future or what that can do to your future health and what it does to your present health either, for that part. And then when people get sick, they justify eating poorly because it's too late and I'm going to just eat what I want. So, you know, the justifications keep going on and on. But, you know, it's not just the one macaroni and cheese pizza, it's then the giant cheeseburger, and then it's the, you know, giant something else with a bunch of grease and oil. And these recipes that I see, they're putting cups of oil onto things. You know, that's nothing but artery clogging, vasoconstriction type of recipes. And of course, you see a million likes, and this is good, but people aren't paying attention. Because they're thinking this one thing doesn't hurt me, but these, you know, if there's one bad thing every day or there's one bad thing three or four times a week, then it really adds up. I had the discussion with one of my students in class that his weight had plateaued, and it's like, well, you know, when you're significantly overweight and you cut your, you know, you start eating plant-based, there's such a difference in your calorie intake than it was previously that you start to drop weight. But as your weight comes down, your caloric needs decrease as well. But there's also all these filler things that people tend to start eating. And in his case, he had started to feel better after bypass, so he was starting to go back out and do things. And, you know, so if you're good for 3 days and then you go out to dinner and then you're, you know, it turns out to be really bad, then you can negate everything you've done for that past 3 days. And that's mostly what people do. They, you know, they have these either the cheat day or the go out to dinner day, which they, you know, and they don't even realize what all they eat and all the bread and the butter and the oils. It just become very, very, very unaware. So it all adds up. You know, it might be, again, you know, one bad thing, but it could be seven bad things in a month that really contribute to your ill health now and especially in the future. You know, I have to go back to what I ate yesterday after my run and how it prepared me for my ride today. You know, I mean, it was full of fruits and vegetables. And beans, for no better reason, no real good reason. The only grain that I had was barley in my dinner. But, you know, it was just because the way the leftovers was, I ate all vegetables at lunch with, you know, the beans as well. But I felt really, really good today because I had such a load of antioxidants and nutrients to help me get ready for today's ride. you know, it means everything. And if you're training for a race, you know, it's all about being able to train. And if you're feeling sick and tired, then you're not going to be able to do as well. But that also translates into your job, you know, whether you're having episodes at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when you're falling asleep, you know, most likely it's what you've been eating. So, you know, take a look at some of those things. I will mention for diabetics that, you know, when you start eating plant-based, especially if you're on some of these oral hypoglycemic agents like metformin, and you become plant-based, you can start to have some really wild dips and really low dips in your blood glucose, you know, in the early afternoon and before dinner, associated with night sweats, or not night sweats, but associated with sweats and shakes and things like that. So you really need to talk to your doctor about backing down on those if you're becoming plant-based, because you really don't need them. You know, they can be eliminated very, very quickly if you're being true to a whole food plant-based diet. Going back to my dinner last night, we went out to dinner. My mother, you know, I grew up in an era where Saturday night we went out to dinner. And, you know, my mom liked to always get dressed up and go out to dinner. So I decided to take my mom out to dinner last night. And there's a change in ownership in a restaurant in our town. And the chef was actually, Chef Keith was the chef for my first plant-based nutrition conference. So I called him up last Thursday and said, hey, I'd like to come to your restaurant. Could you think you could swing a couple of plant-based meals with add any oil and salt? And he's like, sure, come on over. So we showed up at the restaurant, and waiter gave us a menu. And looked at the menu, and there were a couple salads that didn't have any cheese on them. But other than that, there was nothing on that I could have even, you know, mixed and matched to try to come up with something to eat had I not known and called ahead. But, you know, when I told the waiter that, you know, Chef Keith was going to, had agreed to make us something. So he first thing he brought out was a salad that wasn't on the menu. It was an arugula salad with figs and pickled onions and watermelon, with the dressing was orange juice, and it was wonderful. And the main course was a pearl barley with some roasted shiitake mushrooms, eggplant, zucchini, hearts of palm. There were some whole tomatoes that were lightly, I guess, you know, lightly sautéed. And then there were some raw tomatoes around the side. So it was a beautiful dish and some greens to top it. It was extremely filling. Had a nice spice complement to it. And it was pretty to look at, pretty to eat. And it was great. You know, but while I'm sitting there, I'm watching all these people, you know, and unfortunately it's waddle in and waddle out. And, you know, they're getting these giant hunks of meat. Or these, you know, when I looked at other plates as I'm walking out, you know, these gravies and these heavy sauces that are so unhealthy. And it's a shame that, you know, he wouldn't put this on the menu yet. And of course, you know, that's the next, you know, one of the next steps is to get enough people to go to his restaurant and ask him to, you know, cook, you know, do what he did for us, so that, you know, he'll get enough demand for it, that he'll want to put that on the menu, because it was such a beautiful dish, that if more people would see it, I'm sure more people would want it, but they just don't think outside the box. And, you know, there's this, I guess, psychological thought that when you go out to dinner, you ought to be getting something expensive or something that costs a lot, or you're the value for your money, perhaps. And people don't think that if they're not getting meat, they're not getting value for the dining experience. On the other hand, you know, if you have good vegetables, ingredients, and it's prepared and, you know, things are put together and there's a lot of thought process that goes to that, you know, that's worth something, and that's a value. And plus, you know, there's no better value than to go out to dinner and have an enjoyable night, but also to be healthy. So I think we have to kind of look and, you know, and perhaps change our values when it comes to going out to dinner. It's not just to go out and feel miserable afterwards. It's to go out, have a good time, socialize, see something beautiful that tastes good, but, you know, doesn't make you have to go lay down. So, you know, I hope that, you know, through support with his restaurant, we can get more vegan options on board, and, you know, and maybe even more places in town that, you know, offer the plant-based options. It comes back to people's perception of value. A steak is valued more than vegetables currently in our society. So when people do the plant-based meal at a restaurant, they kind of feel gypped. A similar thing I experienced, and it's very sad, I have a patient that has very bad cancer, and she doesn't have an appetite. She had chemotherapy. She's in the hospital. She's being given, you know, food that's awful, Ensure, scrambled eggs, coffee cake, pretzels, things like that. I spoke with her family about bringing in juices. You know, we talked about different juice blends. They've tried a few things, but nobody's, you know, that versed in nutrition. When asked, the hospital brought up a few smoothies that were, you know, in a styrofoam cup that were not cold, so they weren't appealing. Yesterday I walked in and there was a Wendy's Frosty on her table that her daughter had brought in. I didn't say anything, you know, because I can't. I've spoken, you know, I've tried to help and given them advice, but I understand their predicament. But it comes down to the bottom line is that, you know, she was trying to bring in something that, you know, one, that she would eat anything, two, comfort food. And our perception as a society of comfort food is not something that'll make us better, but something that, you know, provides a short-term satisfaction. So certainly, I mean, the dairy and the sugar is not what she needs at this point. But it just kind of goes back on, you know, they're in a big bind. They're in a predicament. And there's not a lot of support through a hospital, dietary staff, nutrition, nursing, or anything to help them along the way. You know, my opinion is just out there as a cardiologist, so it doesn't weigh in very much when it, you know, when oncologists aren't talking about it, when nurses, staff, and dietitians aren't talking about it. Everybody just says get calories. So it's, you know, our value system is in the wrong place in a lot of areas. Another question I got asked this week by email was, I guess it was a comment or asking for suggestions. Lady wants to be plant-based, but she has a family and especially a 15-year-old son at home that doesn't want any part of it. And so she's finding it very difficult, you know, to try to, you know, have the family be plant-based. And, you know, it's very difficult making a bunch of extra food. And, you know, she doesn't want to rock the boat. And, you know, my response to that would be, you know, isn't it funny that back when I was growing up watching cartoons, Popeye the Sailor Man, and Popeye ate spinach and he had muscles. And guess who the fat one was? It was Wimpy, who ate hamburgers. And I think that is just hilarious when you look back on it. Way back then, you know, we had the muscle guy eating spinach and the fat guy eating the hamburgers. Nobody really ever caught on. Nobody talked about that then. We just, you know, Wimpy was just a wimpy kind of guy. You know, now we have a lot of very successful athletes that are vegan and plant-based. There's a group called Muscles by Brussels that they actually sponsor CrossFit athletes, bodybuilding athletes, powerlifting athletes. So you can check out that website. Robert Cheek is a bodybuilder. He has written a couple different books. He's out there on social media. I'll make some links. He's a very successful bodybuilder. Of course, David Carter, the 300-pound vegan, was a professional football player, defensive end, still maintains his strength and his size, eating completely plant-based. Scott Jurek's an ultra runner that set the Appalachian Trail record. So these aren't just athletes that just go out and, you know, weekend warrior type of things. These are highly successful professional athletes. Griff Whalen is a professional NFL football player that's 100% plant-based. There's actually now a vegan, 100% vegan soccer club called the Forest Green Rovers. It's kind of interesting. The owner, Dale Vince, was an eco warrior. He made his money by selling renewable electricity to the national grid. But in 2015, his club became 100% vegan. David Meyer is a jiu-jitsu champion. Matt Danzig's mixed martial arts champion, 100% plant-based. And, of course, Patrick Bamboumian is the held the strongest man title. He walked 10 meters with 555 kilograms. And you can find these guys all on social media. So, I mean, there's no shortage of people that are plant-based. And these guys aren't just, you know, junk food vegans. They're 100% plant-based, whole food athletes. And they're not supplemented athletes. They're just eating plants. I'm often seeing posts on Facebook and hearing from my patients that, you know, their family members aren't don't want to be plant-based and are poo-pooing it. This morning I saw yet another post that, you know, the family didn't want to be plant-based. And they just wanted to eat a lot of pasta, you know, with sauce and things like that. And I've had problems in the past, especially earlier in my class when I started teaching plant-based nutrition, that a lot of people would just go plant-based by eating pasta with sauce on it and not a whole lot else, maybe just a little salad. And they were not only not losing weight, but a couple people actually were gaining weight because then they were always eating, you know, also eating bread. And if you think about it, you know, and I grew up, you know, spaghetti is one of my favorite meals. I think a lot of kids grow up that spaghetti is one of their meals with pasta. But it's all about the sauce. It's not about the pasta noodle itself. If you were to be given plain noodles, most people really wouldn't want to eat them. It's the stuff that goes on top. And pasta is a way to spread a meal for a lot of people when, you know, there's not a lot of the stuff that goes on top to go around. So you get a big plate of pasta and a little bit of the stuff goes on top. That's kind of how it evolved. The reality of it is you can take the pasta sauce and stick it on any vegetable. You could stick it on whole grains, barley, quinoa, even brown rice, and be better than the processed pasta. Or you could just stick that sauce on the vegetables to start with. But we've, as a society, have become very attached to sauce. It's just like I saw at the FM Doms the other night, you know, all these different sauces covering up, you know, whatever these pieces of meat. If we take away the sauces, what's underneath is maybe not all that appetizing. So, you know, I think people need to learn to see what's underneath the sauce and, you know, start to like vegetables for what they really are and learn the taste of them. So, you know, try to avoid some of the sauces. That's where a lot of calories come in, and that's where a lot of people aren't losing weight because they're adding so many sauces to these vegetables, thinking that, you know, we've come as a society that we've got to cover things up with ketchup, mustard, or sauce. So try to, you know, do a little experiment and just eat the vegetables, you know, maybe a little nutritional yeast, you know, some peppers, some different herbs and spices, but, you know, try to back off on the sauce and see if that doesn't help out. And as far as, you know, family members, you know, if you're just making vegetables and you're making meat, you know, cut back on their sauces. If they don't have all the condiments for their meat, it might not be that great, and your vegetables may start to taste and look a little bit better. So that's, you know, you don't have to talk about it. That's just kind of the way you can change your cooking if you're the cook. My dish the other night had a variety of different vegetables together, and those vegetables, they complemented each other. There wasn't any sauce on them, but the flavors came from the different vegetables together, just like a vegetable soup. You know, you put all the vegetables in a pot and you cook them, and in their own broth, it becomes very good. You don't need to add anything. I dare you to take a piece of chicken and put it in a pot with a piece of beef and just boil it and see what you come up with. It's not going to be very good, and you're probably going to get sick. So the take-home messages for this week basically come down to try to eat unprocessed, whole fruits, whole vegetables. Try to avoid the processed foods, the breads, the flours, the sauces. And it is economical to eat plant-based, corn, potatoes, rice, beans. Those are all great staples that can fill you up, and then you add a few extra vegetables to that, and you have a meal. It's summertime. There's a lot of fruit out there. Look in the produce aisle. See if you can find some new fruits, new tropical fruits. If you can come across a man-made sapote, go ahead and give it a whirl. Dragon fruit's out there. So try some new fruits this summer. Call ahead to the restaurant that you're going and see if they'll make you a vegetable dish. If you call ahead, give them a couple days, usually they can come up with something for you. And then when you get there, you just say, I already called ahead, and it'll come out, and you don't have to mill over the menu. It's also warm in most parts of the world right now, so start an herb garden. Oregano, parsley, cilantro, basil. You can at least grow that on your porch. You can also grow tomatoes and peppers on your porch, some lettuce, some spinach. You can supplement your own greens. So give that a whirl. That'll make you feel good about growing your own food, and it's tasty, and it's fun to go out and harvest your own. And I guess finally, you're in charge of your own health. And if your partner or friends or family don't want to be healthy, that's their problem. But you're still in charge of your own health, and it's not an excuse for you to be lazy about it. I think we do need to make an effort to collect your own food, grow it or buy it, and make your own meals, and take responsibility for your own health care. Otherwise, you become a victim, and you're given more and more medications, and you become sicker and sicker. And, you know, you're not healthy, you're happy to be around, and things just continue to deteriorate. So, take the corn by the stalk, and take care of your own health. Get some exercise, get some vitamin D. It's not going to cause cancer, but it's going to make you feel good. And just don't get sunburned. Set some goals and boundaries for your health, and stick to them. So until next week, eat your plants, get some exercise, be strong, and have a great week.